Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. President Donald Trump announced a 10% tariff across the board, as well as reciprocal tariffs on goods imported from several specific countries yesterday. The White House says these higher tariffs will convince other nations to lower prices on items they export to the U.S. and promote domestic production. But most economists warn that racking up tariffs will hit U.S. companies and consumers the hardest. One of the places consumers are likely to see price changes is at the grocery store, especially if you shop at specialty purveyors that carry international food items that are hard to find or sold at a premium at major supermarket chains. Here to discuss how local international grocers will be experiencing this major uptick in cost is Shane Propeisel, Chief Operating Officer for Global Foods Group. Shane, welcome back to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks, Blaine. Always a pleasure to be here, but I wish it was under more lighthearted circumstances.
Right, right. So, Shane, first of all, what was your reaction to yesterday's announcement?
Honestly, shock. You know, I think most people, we were prepared at some point to hear about exactly what tariffs were going to come down the line. I think this administration had telegraphed it. That's what he ran on. So we were prepared. I think for a lot of people was the scope and scale of the tariffs and also which countries were included. Mm-hmm. You know, we obviously expected China to be affected, but South Korea, Thailand, Vietnam, the size and scope was very unexpected. And right now we're scrambling, as I'm sure a lot of other folks are.
Mm-hmm. Shane, to what extent do you expect President Trump's tariffs to affect what you sell at Global Foods in Kirkwood and United Provisions in the Delmar Loop?
Unfortunately, we think it's going to be pretty immediate. From my understanding, and I'm still kind of trying to understand the scope and scale, is that the tariffs are immediately effective. And I know in the past it's taken maybe a week or two, where we had some space to, again, stock up on inventory or try to get things through the ports as quickly as possible. But it's my understanding that it's immediate, so that means that when we get our price sheets today or in the next day, those tariffs will already be reflected in the prices we'll have to pay.
Mm-hmm. Now, earlier you'd mentioned China, and China is looking at a new 34% tariff added to their imports, which already had a 20% tariff before yesterday. But what is relevant to our conversation now, Shane, is that reciprocal tariffs do not apply to things like steel or automobiles, but they do apply to items like food. Also, before the show started, you were talking about how many things are connected, even if they're not food products per se. Can you give us a very specific example of something that you sell in your stores that will be affected by the tariffs and how it will ripple out in effect?
Definitely. You know, we have a large selection of East Asian products. And, you know, I think when people, when I try to explain to folks, you know, when the food gets to your table, there's so many things that go into that supply chain, right? Not just the food item itself, the food stuff, but the packaging, where those packaging materials are coming from. And so when you kind of stack those tariffs together, you know, 10%, I think a lot of folks would be like, okay, a lot of retailers would try to factor that in or as much as possible, not pass it on to the consumer. When it's quadrupled, I mean, you know, I would say right now we're selling Nongshin ramen, you know, a pretty ubiquitous item for a lot of folks, Koreans and non alike, mm-hmm. That, you know, retails around $1.89. I think the tariff on South Korea specifically is almost 30%. And so, you know, just doing the simple math, that's just a cost that's going to be, you know, retailers will have to decide how much to swallow. But things like that will just definitely be an immediate impact, especially, if you're purchasing it every day or it's very much a regular part of your diet.
Mm-hmm. Shane, you were saying that the announcement yesterday, that your first reaction was shock. And President Trump has talked about reciprocal tariffs for weeks now. I mean, to what degree were you braced for yesterday's announcement?
I think, you know, myself and other people who, again, do business overseas and not just in food, but I've, you know, other friends who are in other lines of work, and we've been stockpiling inventory. The problem with foodstuffs is obviously, you know, it will go bad if you stockpile too much. And
right.
So we've been really trying to manage that. I know the past few weeks we've been ordering, you know, if we ordered a few pallets at a time, we're looking into getting containers. And so, again, planning for this, you know, price increase, and now... again, I think it's just a scope and scale.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that, you know, again, we have restaurants in our business as well. And
right.
another thing that kind of occurred to me is that, you know, with our restaurants, being Japanese and Thai restaurants, they rely on a lot of ingredients that, quite frankly, are just not possible to grow here in the United States. You know, we don't have a lot of coconut growth, not a lot of mango growth. And so those are costs that I have to factor in as we supply not just our restaurants, but other specialty cuisine restaurants all around the region.
Mm-hmm. How many restaurants would you say rely on the Global Food Group in order to get those ingredients?
Between, you know, depending on the season, at least 20. We've, you know, actually recently wholesale has been really successful for us because we've been able to be consistent with our supply and our price. And now we're going to really have to take a hard look to see how that is. Because, again, you know, there's just certain items and ingredients that are just not replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do the best we can. But, you know, the reason why the St. Louis food scene is so great and so diverse is because of globalization. We're able to get galangal and fresh mangoes and all of that, and it, you know, we can still get that. It's just now trying to figure out how much it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm. How about things that are produced domestically? I mean, globalization, that obviously has changed our palates. Has that changed how much you can get domestically? Have you also been looking at domestic sources of some of these ingredients?
Yeah, you know, I'll bring up an example. You know, we have two sushi restaurants. We go through a lot of soy sauce. People are probably familiar with the brand Kikkoman.
Yes.
That actually is manufactured in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's things, again, we almost have to go line item by line item with what we use on a weekly basis. Say, okay, well, this is affected. That's something we didn't expect to get through. But on the other hand, you know, a lot of the tuna is coming from Japan and overseas. And so, again, just finding that fine balance, fine line, and just really examining every part of the supply chain. You know, we can sub out perhaps California cow rose rice or
right.
Japanese rice. And so, again, I think a lot of people are still digesting to see where we go next.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Shane Propizel, who's the Chief Operating Officer for Global Foods Group, and we're discussing the tariffs that President Trump announced just yesterday. You know, your family, Shane, is a family that has grown a business into what it is today, and you've also grown up in this industry because of what you saw your parents do. What are the conversations that you have had with your mom and dad about what is happening? I mean, have they experienced anything akin to what is happening with these steep tariff increases?
Honestly, I was thinking about it this morning. I think the closest thing that you can really compare this to is COVID, when it was a supply chain issue. And,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, right now, this is a self-inflicted supply chain issue that we're dealing with. And again, it's trying to stock up on what we can, trying to get by with what we can't, you know, price adjustments daily, maybe hourly, depending on, you know, if we can call our person in New York, well, they might have a cheaper price than someone in Los Angeles getting that product here to St. Louis. And so right now, I don't want to say it's scrambling, but we're trying to, again, understand the lay of the land. And with this particular administration, the way they've been treating these tariffs, there's a risk as well as overcommitting. You know, the tariffs may be negotiated down, they may be scrapped entirely. And so, again, that regulatory environment of just being uncertain, you know, we don't want to end up with too much of something when maybe a week later, you know, something has been adjusted. And so, really, we're just trying to go day by day, hour by hour to see
mm-hmm.
what the best way forward is.
So hour by hour, I mean, what does that look like?
You know, produce we get in every day. And, you know, not just for international markets, but the large majority, or I would say a good portion of the produce that you would find at even American grocers
mm-hmm.
are, you know, from Central America, Mexico, Canada.
Right.
And so obviously, you know, as things are harvested, one day to the next. There's price fluctuations. And again, you know, the produce that's grown in the U.S. will be obviously in a higher demand because they're not subject to tariffs, which again, more demand will drive up the cost potentially for some of those items. And so unfortunately, I just, you know, I'm not a professional economist, but I just don't see how prices just don't go up.
Yeah. You'd mentioned supply chain, and I think that's something that is worth talking through. You know, how exactly do you and other grocers, you know, get products to the store shelves? For instance, you know, do you work with a specific supplier, or are there several distributors that you deal with in order to, you know, to get the best bang for your buck, and then also make these products accessible to shoppers?
You know, my dad's been doing this for close to 40 years, and I think a great benefit of that is just having really solid relationships with folks. You know, I mentioned any kind of major port of entry, we do business in Miami, Chicago, New York. And so, you know, a lot of these companies are selling the same items, but we're, you know, hopefully able to negotiate good, better prices. And again, factoring in freight, factoring in where it is, if it's, you know, just leaving Bangkok, or if it's in the middle of the Pacific, or it's at the port of Long Beach, you know, that all factors in. So, you know, I know our buyers, you know, my parents right now are on the phones with all our distributors and folks that, again, try to get product in at the best price so that we can minimize any disruption when it comes out to the checkout line.
There's the relationship, Shane, between grocers and suppliers. But there's also the relationship between grocer and consumer. And in the past, when you've been on the show, you've talked with us about how international grocery stores, you know, make a new city feel like home to new residents that have recently immigrated to the country. I mean, how will these tariffs impact the way that people are transitioning to a new life in a new place?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a challenge. You know, I think a kind of a big part of what we try to focus on, you know, not just buying and selling a good is, you know, with St. Louis, I think, you know, we've had reporting and analysis that the foreign-born population is growing. It's actually staving off a lot of the population decline, and that's something we want to continue. The New York Times had a wonderful article about the rich tapestry of folks coming to St. Louis and rebuilding it, and a large part of people either coming here or choosing to stay is providing, you know, a culinary asset like that where, you know, this is something where, oh, we do have access to the foods we're used to back home. You know, keep in mind that, we're, you know, obviously we can still get this, but it's the barrier to entry. It's the price. We recently were able to get our hands on some Dubai chocolate.
And
it, you know, it's all the rage, and it was not cheap to begin with.
Right, and now,
with everything happening, those simple pleasures, those simple luxuries, it's just going to get a little bit harder. But, you know, what choice do we have?
So businesses like yours, you know, will have to figure out if they take this high tariff hit on their own or if they'll pass the cost on to their customers. I mean, generally, how could either of these scenarios play out, you know, from your perspective? Like, at what point will costs really show up for those who are going through the aisles of your grocery stores or, you know, trying to get a seat at one of the restaurants that is under Global Foods?
You know, I think at the end of the day, for a lot of people, food's the last thing they would cut back on. You know, it's a daily need. I think there's, you know, whether it's family vacations or, you know, other items that people might, you know, cut back before they get to food, you know, I'm just thinking that food is maybe one of those things where, again, I don't know if we're heading to an economic contraction or not. You know, smart people say yes, smart people say no. But if we get there, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, if I'm not going to buy a new fancy widget, maybe a nice dinner, a nice sushi dinner, a nice, you know, Thai takeout on a Friday is what people are going to kind of revert to. And obviously, there is also a price point where people are like, you know, as much as I love this, it's just not realistic, or it's, I just can't do that, you know, twice a week. Now it's once a month. And so it's, I think it's every business right now is trying to figure out that kind of happy medium of, again, being competitive, but, you know, being able to stay in business.
What is it that you would like for consumers to know, Shane, about the future of shopping at their local international grocery stores? if these tariffs do indeed go through, if they hold?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if this is the administration's policy long term, that is definitely going to put some inflationary pressure. Prices will rise. I think it depends on, again, how much they rise. If there is negotiation on what percentage, right? So I think Thailand is at 37%. Well, there is a difference between 37 and 15 or 20. So, we're hearing various countries take different stances on how they're going to approach this. And our hope is that obviously there's a resolution in the regulatory framework just for us to be able to do business. Mm-hmm. I think most businesses, we can, as long as the rules are laid out and enforced and static, we can plan around that. But I think the struggle and the challenge the first 4 months in has been the mercurial trade policies that just week to week, month to month, not knowing what to expect and how to adjust by that.
Yeah. I mean, we have some breaking news here, and within the last couple hours, Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa teamed with a Democrat to introduce the Trade Review Act of 2025, and that would assert congressional review over tariffs. So it would require the president to notify Congress of new tariffs within 48 hours of imposition, and then give Congress 60 days to accept or reject new tariffs. Shane, what is your reaction to that?
I think that's great news. I think the fact that it's bipartisan is really promising. Another part of, obviously, we're at the end point of the food chain, but a lot of the agricultural states are represented by Republicans in the Senate. And, it's not just prices increasing for the consumer at the dinner table, but, we'll potentially lose market share. A lot of our farmers, we grow an extraordinary amount of food and mm-hmm. we sell it to, Brazil and China and places around the world. And so, again, if there are retaliatory tariffs by these other countries, our farmers are going to lose market share as well. So I'm optimistic that some compromise or, something can be passed where there is review and that, again, we minimize harm to consumers as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever think that you'd need to follow, domestic and international policies this much? I mean, I do know that you were a poli-sci major in college. I mean, is what goes on globally and here domestically something you are already doing because of the nature of the business that you're in?
We live in an interconnected world. I think part of why I've decided to come back to the family business is that food is a force for global good. And, it's a little corny, but it brings us all together, and it's unfortunate now that there are kind of barriers to make that more difficult. But I was up late last night with my team and up early this morning watching the news, trying to just make sure that we can continue to serve St. Louis. Mm-hmm.
Shane Preisel is the Chief Operating Officer of Global Foods Group, which includes Global Foods Market, United Provisions, The King and I, Chaobon and Oishi, Sushi and Oishi Steakhouse. Shane, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Elaine.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.